The following is a message from Pastor Jeff Mann. For more information about James River Church, please visit us at jamesriverchurch.com.
I just want to talk today about God's power, how he works with us when we obey the command to make disciples and preach the gospel. A couple years ago, we were going out and we were evangelizing, sharing the gospel with people around town. And Winter and I were together, and we met these teenage girls, and we were talking with them about Jesus. And neither one of them were serving the Lord. But as we were talking to them, I started praying after we talked for a little while. And then I was like, let's pray. And as I started praying, this doesn't happen every single time, but I always pay attention when it does, because usually something awesome is happening. As I started praying, as soon as I started praying, I suddenly, instantly, felt this super strong presence of the Lord just show up. I was like, oh my, wow. I was like, God is here. Of course, I know that by faith always, but I'm like, he's here in a special way right now. And so I'm like wondering if anybody else is feeling this, or is this just me? Because you never know. So I asked the girls, I was like, hey, are you sensing anything or feeling anything right now? And one of them, this is what she says. And remember, this is a girl who's not serving Jesus, okay? I didn't coach her or prep her to prompt her to try and say something. Or just like, are you sensing anything right now? She says this, she goes, I just heard an angel speak to me. I was like, really? I was like, what did the angel say? And she said, and I can't remember the exact words, but it was something along the lines of, told me that I need to obey God. And I was like, yep, that's good. That bears witness with the truth. I'm like, that's a good angel. I'm like, yep, absolutely. So I didn't know that when I sensed that heightened presence of God suddenly, what happened was an angel just showed up. And angels, how many of you know they carry the presence of God, right? Now, all the power comes from it's all the Holy Spirit's power. You know, when an angel comes and does something, they only do it because of the Holy Spirit's presence and power that is in them, that, you know, he flows through them as a vessel, just like he flows through us as a vessel. Does that make sense? But it's all glory to God. He gets all the glory. So that happened. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that's happened several times to me. I always pay attention when it happens now. As I'm going out there, I had one time I was knocking on this lady's door, on her apartment door, and I was like, I'm going out to evangelize, but I only got about 30 minutes. I'm going to be really fast today because I got to get home, because I think I was about to leave for the Ukraine or something. I don't know. I was going somewhere, or my wife was going somewhere. I can't remember, but she was leaving the next day, and I had to spend time with her. So I knock on the door really fast, and I'm talking with this woman, and she has epilepsy. And I'm like, huh. And we kind of discern as we talk for just a few minutes. She has epilepsy. We know it's demonic. Is kind of the root of it, the source of it. So I'm like, you know, she confessed to be a believer of Jesus. And so I was like, okay, that's cool. I was like, well, Jesus died on the cross, not only to forgive your sins, but to deliver you from the power of the enemy. So I'm like, so let's pray and command that thing to leave together. And she said, okay. I wasn't feeling any strong presence of God. It was just normal, right? As soon as I started praying, I was like, Lord Jesus, and we started praying. Suddenly it happened again. I was like, oh my goodness, that super strong power of God is there. And I was like, wow. And I'm going, is she feeling it or is it just me? I always wonder that usually. And I'm like, are you sensing anything right now? And she's like, yeah. She goes, when we prayed, I felt something fly away from me because we commanded the demon to leave her. And I was like, awesome. I'm like, that's really, really good. Anyway, it was pretty cool. I checked back a few days later, and she's like, I haven't had any seizures for 2 days now. And I was like, is that normal? I was like, you know, I didn't know if you have them once a month or is this like an everyday? She goes, no, I have multiple seizures every single day. She goes, now for 2 days since that thing flew away from me, she goes, I haven't had one seizure. I was like, praise God. I saw her actually about a year, I don't know, a long, long time later downtown, and I asked her, I'm saying, how are the seizures doing? And she did start having them again, you know, later on after that. But, you know, who knows what's going on there? I have some thoughts on that. I don't know if she's continuing on with the Lord or not. But anyway, but the point is, when we go preach the gospel, God is with us. Amen. So Autumn's praying like a few weeks ago. And as she's praying just her normal prayer time, suddenly she feels this presence of God right next to her, if I'm remembering right. Anyway, and so long story short, she's asking God all these questions and she's getting all this, God is speaking to her in a heightened way. And she's, and all of a sudden she goes, she says, God, show me something like this. She's like, show me the angels that are at work regularly in our home and in our family. And God began to show her all these things. And one of them, she suddenly had this memory of the story years ago when I was talking to that girl with Winter and the angel showed up and she said, I heard an angel just telling me I need to obey God. You guys remember? I just told you the story. Well, suddenly she remembers that. We hadn't been talking about it in a long, long time. But she suddenly remembers it and she knows and God speaks to her and basically says, this angel that showed up there is always with Jeff. Whenever he goes out, if this is the gist of it, you know, it's that angel's assigned to him and to help him when he is evangelizing and making disciples. And what it does is when he speaks, it opens the eyes and the hearts of unbelievers to help them receive God's word. Isn't that cool? I was so encouraged. She told me that. I'm like, oh, I know it's true. I mean, I already know because of what the Word of God says. I'm going to read all the scriptures, a bunch of scriptures about it in just a second. But it's just so encouraging when God pulls back the veil and lets us see what's happening in the Spirit. We're like, wow, the Word of God is really true. Look at that. It's working just like Jesus said. So that just encourages me. And it's not just me. God works with all of his people. When we go out, it's not like, wow, Jeff has that one angel. Go with him evangelizing. It's not just me. You know what I mean? Now, there are different gifts in the body of Christ, right? And there's some people that have a stronger grace in evangelism, a stronger grace in healing, some stronger in discerning of spirits. You guys with me? And there are strengths there. But there's a general grace that God works with every one of his disciples as we obey the Great Commission to make disciples. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, I need two volunteers. Who wants to be a volunteer? To come up front and act in front of people. I'm going to about to go into the draft. Okay, Jeff is going to come up. He volunteered. Somebody going to get drafted or volunteer? Lisa, come on up. Awesome. So, Jeff, no offense to you. I'm going to have you be the demon. Because you got to honor the lady. And so you stand right here. Why don't you guys come over here? Now, Lisa, yeah, just turn and face them. You stand behind her. Okay? Now, this is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is reality. This is what it's like with every lost person you ever are around. The God of this age is talking about the devil, has blinded, say blinded, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light. They can't see it. They're blinded. It is impossible for them to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ is what the scripture says. They can't see it. So Jeff, I just want you to just kind of reach around and don't do it. Don't mess up her glasses, but just pretend you're blinding her. Okay, good. Just keep that there. That is the spiritual reality. Every lost people, the person that you're in contact with, they cannot see the gospel of Christ. It is impossible. They can't just say, I think I'm going to search for God and find him. That only happens when Holy Spirit comes and starts slowly removing the blinder and stirring up desires. So go ahead and keep it there. Okay? So I come up and I'm like, Lisa, Jesus is amazing. He died on the cross to forgive your sins. He created you. He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And I can be as clear and as articulate and eloquent as possible. But until these blinders get moved, she's not seeing a thing. She's blind right now. If I came up to her and I said, how many fingers am I holding up? Now, you guys know how many? Three. We all see the light. None of us, we're not blinded. We can see there's three fingers, but she can't see it. You're like, this is so simple. How are you not getting this? A third grader could get how many fingers I'm holding up because she's blinded. She's blinded. Now, what we do though, this is God's promise. He says, when you go out and share the gospel, and I hold up the light of Christ in front of them, the gospel in front of them, this is what the Holy Spirit does. You know, he can do it through angels. He can just do it directly, however he chooses to do it. But I know this, when you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes up, wham, knocks the blinders off by force. Demons don't want to let go, but they're inferior to the power of God. And so the blinders get ripped off, and all of a sudden, how many fingers am I holding up? And she can see the light. You guys with me? Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Now she has a choice. It's not automatic. She has a choice. Now you see clearly, you know Jesus is God. You know he died on the cross, and you know it's true because the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to your heart. You see for the first time in your life. Now you have a choice. You can say yes, repent of your sins, believe the truth, and follow Christ. And then this spirit that's at work out here comes to live in there and you're free. Does that make sense? Or she can harden her heart. She can, la, 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 I don't want to hear it because I love my sin, right? And here's what many times ends up happening. There's no guarantee how long those blinders are going to stay removed. If you say yes to the light, the blinders stay off. Does that make sense? And you keep growing and walking in the light. But listen, if you harden your heart, eventually... And once that happens to a person, there is no possible way for them to be saved because they can't see unless God opens their eyes to see. So when the window of opportunity is open and you know that God is real and you know that the gospel is true, you better jump through that window and follow Jesus with all your heart for the rest of your life. Amen. Give him a hand. Good job, guys. I feel such an intense burden at times because I know the spiritual reality. I know that those blinders, that window of opportunity for salvation doesn't stay open forever. Some, it stays open longer, and many times that's in direct response to family members or people that are praying for them. And so there's an increased grace because of the prayers of the saints of saying, God, open the eyes of my son. Don't, even though he's hardening his heart, God, draw him to yourself. Open his heart again, and he'll keep working, and he'll keep working because of our prayers. But listen, not everybody's guaranteed. It's absolute foolishness for the person who says, well, I don't want to, I'm young. I'm in good health. I'm not dying. You know, I'm going to keep this in mind. I'm going to stick this on the shelf because I think there's some merit to this. And someday, maybe right before I die, I'm going to make sure and pray that prayer really quick. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You don't have control over that. Here's what you have control over. Right now, today is the day of salvation. Right now, you see the truth and your eyes are open and your heart is being drawn to Jesus. Right now, you can say yes because he's drawing you. But if you harden your heart in the moment of drawing, there's no guarantee that you'll be drawn again. Is that because God's unjust? Absolutely not. None of us deserve to be drawn even one time. He died on the cross. He does a lot to draw us to himself because he loves us. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to what? Repentance, right? And so when we have that opening, jump through it. It's a burden in my heart. It's when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody and I sense they're tender. Their heart is open right now. I know it's not because of them. It's because of Jesus. But it scares me when they don't jump through the window and say yes. I'm like, it's been 3 weeks I've been talking to you about Jesus. You've seen miracles for 3 weeks. You've told me with your own lips you think there's some merit to this. And you still haven't given your life to him. I get scared for you. What are you waiting for? You feel that? What are you feeling right now? You know what you're feeling? That's the power of God. When you preach the gospel, I'm not even, that isn't even my main message. But you just mentioned the gospel and the Spirit bears witness and conviction comes and draws you. I could give an altar call right now. So I encourage you this, if that's you and you've been playing with God, jump through the window. Say yes to God, burn the bridge behind you, and follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Amen. God promises, man. Holy Spirit, I release you right now over every person I've been sharing the gospel with in this room, but God, even others, you know I'm thinking of. God, I ask that you draw them to yourself. I pray for my brother, Tim, my sister-in-law, Leslie. I pray for their children, Zoe and Owen. I pray for my sister, Lacey, and Cassie, and Corey. God, draw them to yourself. Have mercy, God. I pray, pull the blinders away one more time. Release your power on their heart and draw them to you one more time, God. Lord, do whatever it takes to soften their heart towards you, that they would quit resisting you and they'd yield their will to the leadership of Jesus. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Just pray that right now. Whoever you're sharing the gospel with, lately, family members, people you're just sharing with, just say their names to the Lord real quick. Oh, draw them, Lord. Draw them, God, have mercy. Uncle Ted, Lord. Draw him to yourself. Have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. And God promises to be with us when we preach the gospel and release his power to confirm the message about Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, how much authority? Okay. All authority in heaven and on earth, that pretty much covers it, has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go. What's the first command? Go. What does that mean? It means go. You remember last week we baptized Jennifer? How many of you read her Facebook post after that on Sunday afternoon? You know, it's the most beautiful thing, the fingerprints of Jesus in a person's heart. And she's like, I was baptized today. I feel so good. I'm pinching my cheeks, but my cheeks hurt so good because I've been smiling so much. I feel so much joy, forgiven, born again. She's like, I want everybody to feel what I'm feeling right now. And you know, I read that, and this is what comes to my mind. I'm like, God, there it is again. I love watching that happen in a person's life. Other than when it happens in my own, it's the most beautiful, wonderful thing to see it happening in another person. I'm just like, God, I love that. And then this thought comes into my mind, and none of that in her would be happening if I had not obeyed the command to go. I met her boyfriend in a park last summer because I was driving by the store, I think. I saw this guy with dreads hanging out in the park. I said, I've never seen him around town before. I should stop and say hi to him. So I did. I started talking to him about Jesus. Then a couple months ago, I saw him again in Walmart. I just ran into him and Jennifer, his girlfriend. I said, hey, I remember you from the park. You remember? He's like, yeah. I was like, hey, let's get together. Give me your number. He gave me his number. I was like, let's get together. We meet at a coffee shop and let's talk about Jesus. And he's like, okay. I was like, bring your girlfriend with you. Bring your brother. Bring your friends. He's like, yeah, I'll bring them. I think they'd come. So they all show up to Aroma Coffee Shop. And there we are, the four of us sitting in there. I share the gospel and his girlfriend Jennifer is there. And as soon as I share my testimony of how I got saved, she's like, that's amazing. I want that to happen to me. You know what just happened? Blinders came off and she is seeing light. She said, that's beautiful. I've never seen that before. I want it. That's her own testimony. She said, there was something about this guy, Jeff. I could tell he really knew God. That wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit confirming the truth. So I said, well, here's how you have that happen to you. And I shared the gospel. She says, I'll do it. But can I tell you something? If I would have sat here, I could have prayed all day long, God, send them into my service so they can hear the gospel. Probably wouldn't have happened. And there's people like Jennifer all over your city, all around you, waiting for you to go and break the silence. Speak the truth. Reveal Jesus.
Yeah, well, they're not going to believe anyway. They're just, everybody in my workplace is so hard-hearted. You know, this is America. You know, if I was in Africa, I'd actually preach the gospel because their hearts are tender. It's like, who are you to judge that? If you were an African Christian, you'd probably be speaking the gospel because they're on fire. That was harsh. That was just off the top of my head. My point is, we got to do this thing, right? We got to break the silence. So go. I love you guys. Sorry if I, you guys know my heart, so we're good. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. We did that last week. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's the promise. And surely I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. Some people say, no, yeah, that promise about God being with us, you know, that's like, that was for the original 12 apostles. But once we have the scriptures, we don't need his power to be at work with us anymore as we go and do that. Except that he said, even to the very end of the age. The promise is this, I can't open anybody's eyes and pull away spiritual blinders, and neither can you, but God can. And the promise is, as we go, he goes with us. We do our part, weak words. He does his part, releasing great power. Blinders get removed, and somebody can get saved. Amen? Mark chapter 16, and he said to them, go. There it is again. Everybody say, go. Okay, where do we go? Into the world, right? What do we do when we get there? Yes, we preach the good news to all creation. And then he gives this. You go get two types of responses when you do it. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. They're already condemned, but they just stay that way. Because they harden their heart to the opportunity to be saved from condemnation. Verse 20. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. They did good. They're obeying, right? They went out and preached everywhere. And what did God do when they did that? It says the Lord worked with them. And what does he do when he's working with us? Yeah, he confirms his word by the signs that accompanied it. There's miraculous signs, there's supernatural things God does to bear witness to the truth, to confirm, hey, what that guy Jeff just said to you, that's for real. Here's the deal. I can come up to you and preach to you, follow Jesus. Some other guy could come up to you and say, no, you need to follow Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Then some other person could come up and say, no, there's many gods and many ways to heaven. And you just, you know, and they preach their version of what they think is truth. And I could have tons of people, and all of us have a story, a word saying, this is who God is, this is what he's like, and this is how to know him and be saved. And they're different. Which one's true? How is that person supposed to know? We say, well, you know, obviously it's Jesus. Well, it's true because we have blinders removed. But for a person's out there and they don't see the light and there's just all these options, you know, it's Russian roulette. How do I know which one is true? I just pick one and hope it's right? No, you know what we need to do? We're not going to convince them Jesus is right because our arguments are more clever than the next guy. Sometimes, I found many times, to be honest with you, people actually don't make their decisions based upon what's logical. Many times they're making decisions based upon what's emotions, or they're making decisions based upon what's accepted in their culture and in their society. Well, I just choose to believe this, not because it's rational. It's not rational, but that's what everybody's doing. And so I'm just going to flow with the crowd until the blinders get removed and the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth and says, what that guy just said about Jesus, it's true. That's what we have right now in the Muslim world. There's so many testimonies of Jesus just appearing to somebody in a dream. You know, I've read you stories before about Jesus showing up to somebody in a dream, basically showing them a picture of a person, a specific person, and say, this person right here, go stand on this corner on this day. And when you see this person, that person's going to tell you about me. So they're like standing there all day on this corner. And finally, in the evening, that they see the exact person walk by that they'd never seen before except in the vision. And then they go up to that person, and that person is a Christian and teaches them the gospel, and they end up getting saved. How did they know that what that person was going to preach to them was the truth that they needed to pay attention to and obey it? Miraculous signs that confirmed, that bore witness to the truth. That God can do it before and set somebody up and get their heart ready to hear it, or he can do it after, or he can do it during the conversation. The point is, though, that unless we speak the word of life, they're stuck. And unless God releases his power working with us, they're stuck. And praise God, the promise is, Jesus says, go do it, and don't worry about me. I did the hard part. I mean, I don't know. This is my imagination. I imagine if I'm Jesus, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to save the world here. Here's all the things I got on my to-do list. First, die on a cross, be scourged. Bear the wrath of God. Sweat drops of blood in the garden. Live a sinless life, 33 years in a human body without sinning one time. And then after that's over, you know, give orders and angels and Holy Spirit go out and do all the stuff to draw people to myself. I would imagine that the hard part is over. This is my thinking. I'm thinking, I went to the cross. That was the easy part. Just giving Holy Spirit, release your power and convince them of the truth. That's the easy part, I imagine. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 through 5. For we know, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, because he had gone there in the book of Acts. You can read about it. I think it's in chapter 17 around there. He goes to Thessalonica. I was there last year with Autumn. Thessaloniki. He goes there. There's no church there, no believers. He starts talking to them about, they have tons of gods. I mean, when you're in Greece, my goodness, gods are everywhere. There's witchcraft, and they have spiritual power manifested. Trying to convince them that this God, so-called demon, but this God that you're worshiping is real. Well, that demon is real, but it's not the way to life. Jesus is. So Paul goes and preaches this brand new message, and the Spirit shows up and bears witness to the truth, and some people get saved, and a church is planted. And a church that is so rooted in Christ that even after Paul leaves, they are intensely persecuted, yet the church, the gospel keeps growing out. They keep preaching everywhere and they stand strong in the Lord. And so Paul's writing a letter to these guys, and he says, brothers, you're loved by God. I know that he's chosen you. Verse 5, here's why. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with what? With power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. And what worked for Paul works the exact way, same way with you. So I want to encourage you this morning is that God will work through you. Because some of you may be thinking, this is an easy way to think, you know. I've done this, you know. You can listen to guys talk and it's like, well, yeah, that's that anointed preacher. You think, well, it works for Paul, it works for Jeff. Work for the early apostles. We're all just people, just like you are. We have weaknesses, we have flaws, we sin. And we have to repent, confess our sins, humble ourselves. Just like you. But if you go and speak, God will work with you. If you go and speak, God will work with you. You guys okay? The Apostle Paul's strategy for preaching the gospel and starting new churches. I want to look, show you two verses. Are you sure you guys are doing okay? I'm not beating you up, am I? Autumn will tell me. Yeah, a little bit. I'm sorry if I'm beating you up. I'm not trying to beat you up. So please forgive me for any part of me beating you up. I'm not trying to do that. I feel urgency that we do this. So I guess that's probably coming through and maybe in some ways it's, I don't mean to be beating you up, so I'm sorry. But I do mean to stir you up and provoke you to obey. So I love you. The Apostle Paul's strategy for preaching the gospel and starting new churches. I love this right here. These two passages are like life passages for me. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul gives us insight into his strategy and how he preaches the gospel. He understands that he can't save anybody. He gets it. He knows it's impossible for him to save anybody, no matter how much he would like to. He understands that it's only through God's power that people get saved, but he also understands that God's power rides on our words when we preach the gospel, okay? And so he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. He says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. He's talking about ways in presenting the gospel. He's not using clever gimmicks and manipulation and bribes to try and get somebody to say yes to Jesus. He's not using intimidation, right? That's what Muslims do. They don't have the Holy Spirit's power because their message is not true. And so they use demonic ways of convincing people. Intimidation, right? Sharia law. Manipulation, etc. Paul's like, we don't do that. We do not use deception. Nor do we distort the word of God. Do you know that there are so many Christians, and they do this, I think, because many times, because of unbelief. They actually hold back truth from God's word because they think, man, they're not going to understand this. I don't want to talk about the wrath of God because they're going to think like God's some angry guy in the sky and they're not going to know that he loves them. So I'm just going to hold back and not teach these parts of the Bible to unbelievers so that they know his love and that they'll come to him. Here's the problem. You think your clever strategy is going to rip a demon blinder off? Absolutely not. You know what rips a demon blinders off? The Holy Spirit. And when the demon blinder gets ripped off, you know what they need to see in front of them? Somebody better have held up the light. You guys with me? It doesn't bother me. When I talk to unbelievers and they're like, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. When they're like, man, you think God would judge things? And, you know, what about the book of Revelation? And I'm like, absolutely. Because he's holy. Romans 1:18, Paul said, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And that includes all of us. As it stands right now, you, me before I said yes to Jesus are, you have a bullseye on your chest. You are condemned because of your godlessness and your sin against God. And the wrath of God will fully be unleashed on you, and justly so. Not because he's harsh, but because he's good and he's a just judge, you will experience the full measure of wrath, except there's a way out. It's through Jesus. He died on the cross to forgive your sins. He took the hit of God's wrath in your place so that you, through faith in him, could go free. And not only be free from the penalty of sin, but be free from the power of sin that pulls you to do crazy things. Just say the truth plainly. That's what Paul's like. I don't have to use clever words and tricky gimmicks, and I just rely on God's power. I set forth my goal when I'm sharing the gospel is I can't convince somebody. My goal is just to help them understand. I lay it out clear. So this is the gospel. Do you understand it? You may not agree with it, but do you understand what I'm saying? I get it. Now you have a choice to make, right? Paul says, we don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, listen to this. By setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, I'm not a used car salesman that's buttering you up and flattering you. You're so amazing. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. God just loves you. And I put forth the parts that I think will be appealing and hold back the things that I think might not be appealing. Why? I'm not doing them a service. I'm doing them an injustice. I'm holding light back from them. They need light. All they have is darkness, right? So what I'm gonna do is I want to set forth the truth plainly. Listen, I love you. I will always be, I tell people this, you be honest with me. I will always be honest with you. I love you already. So if you don't agree with me, it's not going to change how I already like you. I already care about you. That's why I'm talking to you. You know, I'm going to love you no matter what you do. But because I love you, I want you to understand this because I want you to experience what God did for you. Does that make sense? And then I lay it out for them. And I'm trusting that if I can just lay it out in love, I'm not mad at you, right? I care about you. But if I can just, God will help me lay it out so you can see it. Then I trust that God will come with his power and do the stuff that needs to happen in the heart so that you can experience the gospel. And what we do is I commend myself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. When we just, no gimmicks. I want people to trust me. Does that make sense? And so I will always tell you the truth. And if I realize I've told you something that's not true, I will come back and admit it to you. So you may not always like what I say, but I'll always love you. I'll always treat you with honor and respect. And part of that is I'll always be completely honest with you. Okay? We're going to act in honesty here. Now, they may not agree with me, but I commend myself to the conscience because they say, I don't like Jeff. They might say that. I don't know. Most of the time they do. But they might say, I don't like Jeff. I don't like what he's talking about. I actually find the majority of the time I get the opposite response as that, though. Most of the time, people are like, that is so refreshing that you can just talk openly and honestly, and you allow me to talk openly and honestly, even if I disagree, and we can just be real with one another. It's usually what happens because they know I care. I'm not out there preaching to fulfill a quota, to check it off my list and go and say, Jesus, I did it. I talked to all these people this week. Now, do with them whatever you're going to do with it, and I'm done. I care about this person. God cares about this person. So I want that to come through when I'm talking. Like, I'm talking because you matter to me, and you matter to God. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, so this is like Paul, he's just saying this, we just keep it real. I just share the truth plainly, And I trust the Holy Spirit to do what has to be done. I don't use gimmicks. I rely fully on God's power. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, Paul tells the same group of people. He says, hey, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking to work on your skill of communicating the gospel so that you can try and do it more clearly, right? There's nothing wrong with doing that. Where the problem is when you rely, when you think that person getting saved relies totally on your eloquence, because it doesn't. Now, we want to get more effective at the skill of sharing the gospel. I want to learn how to communicate it clearly and simply so that they can understand it, right? That's a good thing to do. However, I know I could set it forth as eloquently as possible, and the blinders are going to remain in place, and thus God's power works. Does that make sense? So I want to work at the skill. I want to be able to, you know, Peter, I think, he says, you know, always be prepared to give an answer or the reason for your faith to people. Always be ready, you know, in season and out of season to share the good news and to give an answer for why you live the way you live in following Christ. So we want to be that way, but I'm not relying on my eloquence to get you saved. For I resolve, Paul said, to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came. Now here's the deal. This is Corinth. This is like an hour away from Greece. We were just there last year. It's about an hour drive, so farther walk, I guess, but an hour drive away from Athens, which is like an, you know, it's like philosophy capital of the world, especially back in the day, okay, when Paul's going there. So much so that they have groups of philosophers that meet like all the time on this hill called Mars Hill. I stood there with my wife last year on top of Mars Hill, and they debating the latest ideas and philosophies of the day. I mean, they love to do this. So they love really gifted speakers. I mean, that just gets them. If you're really eloquent, they're like, oh, he's awesome. You know, his idea must be true because he's so awesome in the way he talks. He's so funny. He's a great communicator or whatever it is. Or he's so smart. I mean, he just puts A plus B plus C. It just seems to make sense. I really like this guy. And they are really impressed by eloquent guys. So Paul's going to this culture and he has an option. I imagine there was an internal pressure, not from God, but from himself to be like, I better have my A game. I better have my speech together. I want to practice it and rehearse it and make sure that it's as eloquent as could be. Because if I'm not as at least up there as some of their best, most eloquent speakers, I mean, why would they consider anything I have to say? I better be my best. Paul's like, you know what? That's not the Holy Spirit. I'm going to lean into the opposite spirit. I'm going to totally trust in God's power. I'm not going to go that. I could wow your socks off. I mean, Paul had been to heaven. He's like, I could tell you things I promise you none of your philosophers have ever heard before or seen. I could blow you away with impressive knowledge. Paul had been trained as an expert in the law. He had debated people many, many times. I mean, he could have got up there with the best of them. But you know what he did? He said, I'm not doing that because I know I could come up there and win the debate and lose your soul. Because it's not going to be, that's not what's going to, I'm not trying to compete and fight with the world's weapons. He says, I resolve to know nothing while I'm with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm just going to preach to you Jesus dying on the cross, which would have been an unimpressive message to the Greek mind. Because the idea of a God, if they want a powerful God, why do you want a God who died? That sounds like a weak God. You know, they have Zeus and all these other gods. Why would we worship this so-called God Jesus when he died? He's weak. Paul says, you know what? That's all I'm preaching, the simple gospel. Then he says, I came to you in what? Weakness and fear and with much trembling. I mean, I'm like, praise God. You mean Paul felt that way when he was sharing the gospel? How many of you have felt that way before?
Yeah? You're going to go, I'm going to share the gospel, and your heart is pounding. You're scared. You're like, what am I going to say? I don't know. What am I going to say? Jesus. Jesus. What am I going to say? I don't remember. Ah! And you know, we all feel that way. I still get that way at different times. And Paul, planted churches all over the world. And he's like, I was in weakness, with fear, with much trembling. But I just said, I'm just going to share the simple, plain gospel. And then he said this, verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why is that important? He says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. See, Paul knew what's going on. He knew everywhere, almost every single place he went into a new place, he planted a new church, and then he moved on to the next place, and persecution immediately came to those believers. And he's like, you Corinthians, if you're believing on Jesus because I was more eloquent than all your philosophers, as soon as the sword comes against you, you're going to turn away in a heartbeat. He says, but if your faith doesn't rest on my wisdom, but it rests upon God's power working in you, when the sword comes, you'll stay steady. Or not even the sword, American culture, here's what we know. As soon as I come and preach to you and you say yes to Jesus, guess what's going to start coming against you? It might be persecution, but I'll tell you what it'd be, temptation. All of a sudden, these opportunities open up. And if it's not real inside of you when I'm not there, guess what? You're gonna deny Christ in a heartbeat. I remember Steve Hill, a great evangelist who just died, and he was a druggie. And he was dying on his bed of a drug overdose as a young man. And a Lutheran vicar came in there who was full of the Holy Spirit and said, preach the gospel to him. And he's lying there shaking on his bed just from an overdose. He's dying. And he's like, I don't know, man, whatever you're thinking. He's like, I don't know what you're saying. He's like, I just need help. And then finally the Lutheran vicar's like, this isn't time to get into a debate. He just says, Steve, just say the name Jesus. Steve's like, Jesus. As soon as he started saying it, he started feeling power come into his body. So he said it again with more faith. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And more he says it, the more God's presence increases. The shaking stops. The body's healed and the soul is born again in a moment. He was so happy he got right out of his own testimony. He says, I got right up out of bed. I was instantly better. I was filled with light. He says, I went outside and he's like, and it was like the sun was brighter than it had been before. And the grass was greener than it had ever been. You know why? He's born again. He's got new life. He's got the joy of the Lord. And he's standing there and he's super excited. And guess what happens? Up pulls a car. Out of the car come some drug dealing buddies. And they come up to him. They're like, hey, Steve, here you go. And they give him like this free bag of the highest quality, the most expensive kind of pot you could buy, marijuana. And he's, you know, Steve tells a story and he's like, man, I served the devil for years. I mean, for years. I was dealing drugs. I was taking drugs. I never got, this stuff is expensive. He never gave me free pot before. Ever. But as soon as I say yes to Jesus, devil comes. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Steve, don't you want some of this? Don't go over there. Come back. You know what Steve said? That he had new life inside of him. So he looked at the stuff. He says, get that stuff away from me, man. I don't need that. He's like, I got Jesus now. He's like, I don't want that junk anymore. He's free. Jennifer, and I preached the gospel to her. I didn't even know she had alcoholic issues and that she was stealing stuff from stores. I had no idea. She never told me until like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, after she's born again. I'm like, let's practice sharing your testimony. Why don't you tell me what God is doing in your life? She starts saying, you know what? She said, I used to feel like I had to drink all the time. She goes, but now, her own words, she's like, I'm like, I got Jesus now. I don't need that anymore. Free. She's like, I go in the stores and I'm like, I don't need to steal. I got Jesus now.
I don't need that anymore. Here's the deal. If her faith rested on my wisdom, she's going right back into the darkness when temptation calls. But because her faith rested on God's power and the Spirit was with her, she was born again. When temptation came, she was able to resist. So my message is not, oh God, please anoint me, give me some power so that I can go out and stuff will happen. That's not my message. My message is go out. And the promise God's already spoken that when you do, he'll release his power and he'll work through you and you'll have your own stories of God working through your life. And of course, many of you know this. You could tell me your own stories. I know that. This is the promise of God. I had a girl one time. This is back when I lived in Missouri. Somebody had prayed for me, I think. It was at the end of one of our youth services. I was a youth pastor, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and he was moving on me. So I was done ministering to people. I was being ministered to directly by the Holy Spirit. It was wonderful. And I can't remember if I'm on the ground, laying on the floor, or I'm kneeling. I can't remember. But I'm there, and the presence of God is just on me in an intense, beautiful, glorious, wonderful way. It was so good, I didn't want to leave. So service was over. Pretty much everybody had left and gone home, but I'm just there. I'm like, I'm not leaving. I love this. And this girl, she was like a spiritual daughter to me. God gives her a prophetic word. And she didn't want to interrupt me, which I'm so thankful for. So she just wrote the word down and gave it to me later. And later on, she says, she gave me the word, and essentially is what it says. It's like God enabled her to hear a sound like the sound of angels' wings. And she says, God, you know, what is this? And the Lord spoke to her. He says, this is Jeff. She says, this is like the sound that the angels make as he walks through Bolivar, which is the little town I lived in at the time. And I would go through Bolivar preaching the gospel just like I do Huron. She says, when Jeff walks through Bolivar, this is the sound of the angels' wings as they accompany him. And when he walks into a place, the demons hear the sound and they tremble. He says, but there's one thing that he lacks, me. Sometimes he lacks confidence, faith that I'm really there with him. This is what's happening. He walks in, the angels are there, and the demons are scared. But sometimes Jeff lacks confidence, and so when that happens, the demons sense it, and they know it, and they're not scared anymore. That word really blessed me. I was like, wow, that is so true. Autumn's word was just confirming even of that one. That was like 10 years ago or 15 years ago she gave me that word, something like that. I think it was in 2000. Actually, I think if I remember right, I looked it up this week. She gave me that word, I think it was March 15th, 2000, which was 5 years to the day before the day we moved to Huron. I don't know. It just stood out to me. I was like, wow, that's cool. So here's my point, though. God is with you. Like, wow, I wish I had a word like that. You have the scriptures. I mean, I bless you. Get words like that. May God open your eyes to see the delegation of angels that he sends with you. But we know because of the scriptures that God is with you and that his power works when you work and speak the word. But here's the deal. When you lack confidence, the demons can, they sense it. You see what I'm saying? And so be confident, not in yourself, but in the Lord who is with you, that he really will actually do what he said and confirm the word you preach of Christ with signs and wonders. Believe it, even when you don't feel it. Most, I don't know, a lot of the time I don't feel it. But a lot of the time I do, and I prefer to feel it. But either way, God's teaching me that when I go out, whether I feel it or not, God is here. He's working with me. I speak the word, and he is releasing his power and following up on it. guaranteed, whether I feel it or not. Amen? Because our great words, or I'm sorry, our weak words plus God's great power equals awesome. Last verse I'm going to read to you. Acts 1:8. Oh, here's Jesus speaking to his disciples right before he takes off. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, wherever you go, I go. And when you witness and testify of me, I'll be right there working with you. It's a partnership. I'm the elephant, you're the mouse, but we're going to shake things up. And Apostle Paul goes into places, and one of the things that unbelievers said about him, he says, these are the guys who turned the world upside down. These are the mice that flipped up the world upside down. There's an elephant who goes with them named Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand. You guys have done a good job listening. I do apologize if I was harsh anywhere in there. I was trying to stir you up, provoke you to good deeds. So Father, let's be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Sound good? Here's the first thing I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to make a commitment to Jesus. You know, Paul told Timothy, the apostle Timothy, he's doing all these important apostolic duties in Ephesus. I mean, he's appointing leaders in all the house churches that are already there. He's working out these false teachers. He's fixing up those problems. He's got a lot of pastoral duties that he's doing. And Paul writes them, and one of the things Paul exhorts him, Timothy, I know you're doing a lot of important pastoral, apostolic ministry stuff, but he says, listen to me. Do the work of an evangelist. Don't stop obeying the Great Commission. And you know, as a pastor, I could do it. It'd be a piece of cake. I think a lot of pastors, good hearts, but they get sucked into this trap. Where they say all their ministry, well, I'm pastoring the people, but they stop doing the work of an evangelist. Paul said, Timothy, no. Keep doing the work of an evangelist. Your pastoral responsibilities do not negate your responsibility to obey the original commission. Get out there, share the gospel, let God's power work through you. Amen. So I want to exhort you to commit to the Lord right now. To do the work of an evangelist this week. I'm talking before next Sunday comes. Say, Lord, I will share the gospel with a lost person this week. I will share my testimony and tell them, hey, can I tell you a quick story? This is what God's done in my life. And then share your story. And then share a quick message of the gospel. Actually tell them, Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins. And he rose from the dead to give you eternal life. He loves you and he wants you to follow him. Will you follow him? That's the gospel. It's like, man, that sounds kind of cheesy. You know, who's going to believe that? I should soup it up a little bit and get some entertaining stories on there or something. It's God's power. All you got to do is give the gospel. Yeah. So I want to encourage you. Go ahead and close your eyes. And actually, I'm tempted to have you raise your hand, but I'm not going to. Because what matters is you're doing this before the Lord. But in your heart, raise your hand so that the Lord can see it in your heart. Say, Lord, I commit to you. I will share the gospel this week with an unbeliever. Not just pray for him. I will actually share the gospel with someone. If I have to blurt it out and it sounds really uneloquent and I can say, oh, I did it. I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit now just to come on you, to anoint you, to be his witness. So Father, right now, we thank you for your promise. You told us that these signs will follow those who believe as we preach the good news. That we will speak with new tongues, that we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God, you promised us that you would fill us, Holy Spirit, and endue us with power to be your witnesses. And then Mark 16, you said that you would confirm your word through our mouth with signs that accompany it. So Father, right now, I just ask for a fresh immersion, a baptism in the Holy Spirit for myself, for everybody who's here, and a fresh boldness to preach the good news of Christ and release your great power and let us stand in awe of, look what God just did. I cannot believe he just did that through me. I can believe it. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your power right now and that you'd enable us to go get into a rhythm, a daily, weekly rhythm of just sharing the good news. God, help us to do this, Lord, not just one week. God, we want to break through this week, but we want a rhythm. We want a lifestyle of releasing the testimony of Jesus everywhere we go. I just want to share this with you. I just felt this come to my mind when I was praying. Boldness. It's biblical to pray and ask God for more boldness. So there's nothing wrong with that. But how many of you know we receive everything by faith? So if you really want to see boldness manifested in your life, you go into the prayer closet or anywhere. You say, Holy Spirit, give me boldness to preach your word. And then immediately you come out of the closet or that place of prayer and you go to lost people and you step into boldness by faith and you start speaking. Even though your heart is pounding and you're nervous and you don't know what you're going to say, you go and you speak and you find that as you step out in faith to speak, the Holy Spirit comes in at that moment of obedience and boldness comes into your soul. And actually, I find that if I break the ice at least once or twice, you know, first I'm nervous, but then all of a sudden there's an anointing. There's a joy that gets released in me in sharing the gospel. And I'm like, oh, I could go now. I could do this thing. You know what I mean? It's really, really true. I was with Jeff last week and we were knocking on doors in an apartment. The first door or two is just knocking on doors. But after a door or two, I was like, oh man, I started feeling the pleasure of the Lord. I remember sitting in the hallway, he knocked on a door and I just looked at him. I'm like, I love this. I felt so happy. The energizing presence of the Lord is so fun. You got to step into boldness. You step into boldness by faith. Amen. So ask him for it, but then obey and do something and then he'll answer your prayer as you go. Amen. Okay. So Lord, I bless my brothers and sisters. I thank you for them. God, just cancel anything I spoke that was harsh or any there was a wrong spirit anywhere in this message. I just pray that you'd erase it from all of our minds right now and don't let it bear fruit. But Father, all the stuff that came from you, I pray that you'd energize it and accent it and put your exclamation on it. And I thank you for that. Let us bear the fruit of what you died to produce, a harvest of disciples who love you with all their heart and make other disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about James River Church, please visit us at jamesriverchurch.com.